This episode is brought to you by
Vintage Souls,
a Los Angeles-based online vintage boutique recreating custom one-of-a-kind nostalgic apparel.
Your favorite vintage tees with a twist. Follow them at Vintage Souls LA or visit them online at www.vintagesoulsla.
Their t-shirts are bomb as fuck.
Now back to our regularly scheduled program.
It's mine, I put it. 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 I like the Dominicans who rock their weaves innocent. Shout out the Boricua girls who rock and keep ponytails. Big up to my Africans who way many hours spent. They own their own businesses and work while they care for kids. You know I love auntie girls with Sunday best bonnet curls. And love to my Asian chick who make hair go straight as shit. I love how West Indies do. It's gossip with hair and food. I love how West Indies do. It's gossip and hair and food.
Bundles, bundles, bundles. Hit that plug up for the bundles.
Welcome back. This is Good Moms, Bad Choices. I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
And it is
hump day. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday. We have a special guest today. I'm really excited because this is probably the most special guest I've ever had. Partly because, or most importantly, because it's my dad.
And also just happens to be a Rams all-star? How do you say that?
All-star?
No, oh, basketball. Can I
set that up? Okay, so you're going to figure out very quickly that both me and Jamila don't know anything about football.
Which is good for me.
All-star, no? Hall of Famer.
There you go.
Hall of Fame. But
you ain't got to say that. I played football. That's great.
Hall of Fame running back Eric Dickerson. AKA my dad.
Maybe we should have researched more. Anybody else who's like writing?
Now, research other people. You know, you can just talk to me.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
We wanted to have my dad on, A, because we've either both yet to have any of our parents on. So, you know.
This is a first.
You guys listen to us every week. And you kind of get a feeling about who we are. We talk about, you know, how we've grown up and who we are. But you've never, like, actually met any of our parents. So, my dad. Here's my dad.
Hey, what's happening?
One half
my
of America.
My daughter.
We share the same name. Mm-hmm. We share the same face.
Everybody see this.
Definitely the face.
Ari keeps coming in. It's already, baby, it's too early for this already. Hey. What's wrong, baby?
What's wrong?
You want to come in here? Come on. Come in here. Come on.
Like you're upset about Red.
Yeah, she's already upset. Come on. Come on. Okay. Anyway, so obviously he's a father, so, you know, he can offer some perspective on parenthood.
Hey, I understand. I know this is, you know, I used to be like this too.
You
wouldn't listen. Like, oh my gosh. But you were a good baby, you know, you really were.
I was. That's what I gotta say. Yeah, you were a good baby. Apparently not so great of a teenager, but
oh my god. Speaking of this, last week Erica told everybody about the time where she sprayed her mom with the water hose.
Oh my god.
And then she called you.
Oh my god.
I was listening to the episode in the car and you told the story again and I was cracking up as if I hadn't even heard it.
It wasn't my fault.
I can tell the story. I can tell your mom called me. She called me and she said, can you say bad words on this?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't know. She called me and she said, Eric, what are you doing? I said, no. She said, I'm going to kill this little bitch.
I knew it. I knew she said that.
Oh, my gosh. She said that.
I knew she said it.
Oh, my God.
I would have said the same thing.
I said, what happened? She said, first of all, did they toilet paper the house or something?
Yeah. They toilet papered the car
in the house. Uh-huh. And she said, I know she know who did it. And I said, well, she might not know who that is. Like, oh, forget that. She's going to tell me, I'm not gonna be your bitch.
I forgot.
Oh, she said that. That's what you said to your mom.
She forgot that.
Well, her mom kind of got a little argument, and then Erica said, I don't know who did it, Mom, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, Rianne said, well, I sprayed it with the hot water hose, and she said, I'm not gonna be your bitch. So I laughed a little bit. I said, I'm not gonna have a talk to you like that. I said that I will call her. So we hung up. I called you. I called you right away. Mm-hmm. I said, what's going on? Nothing.
Everything's fine.
I said, what happened with your mom? And you proceeded to tell me. Well, she did this. I said, stop right there. I said, I'm not trying to hear that. I said, you said to her, I'm not going to be. Yeah, I said this. You said, but then I said, Erica, I don't give a damn what your mom said.
That voice is discouraged.
I said, I don't give a damn what your mom said. I said, you're not talking to your mom. I don't care what she did. You don't talk to your mother like that. You understand? Okay, Dad. I said, go in there to her and go in and apologize to her and then call me back when you apologize. So you did what I told you. You went in. You were a good kid. You went in and probably, did I laugh? Oh my God. I was telling everybody. She thought, I'm not going to be your bitch.
Wait, did you tell her you're not going to be a bitch because she made you clean the car off?
Yeah, I think that. And then she kept yelling at me and I sprayed her.
It was so funny.
That shit.
She was screaming at me as I was cleaning the car. And
you're
then
like,
I sprayed
you're
her.
Like, pop out now. I'm surprised she didn't smack the shit out of you.
So that's it. Because I told you, I said, you and your mom going to be on the ground with fighting and wrestling around the ground? You said, no. I said, well, yeah, that's what your mom was going to do.
Right.
So, you know, but like I said, you were a good teenager. You know, everybody have a lot to do. Well, I can tell you this much.
I was always scared of you.
Well, I say this much. One thing I talked to you about, and that was dating athletes. Because I told you, I said, Eric, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I want you to stay away from athletes. I mean, I know you like some guys when you were younger, but nothing serious, not as I know of. I said, stay away from athletes. I said, look, for me, I said, you know, I know how we are. I know things we're going to say. I told you just up front, you old, and I said, they're going to tell you all the stuff you want to hear to get in your pants. I said, and after that, I said, you're just another number. I said, one thing is that when you become that girl to athletes, I said, it's something you can't shake for the rest of your life. I mean, you can't shake that stigma. You can be an old lady, and they say, oh, that's that hole over there, boy. It used to be a
that's an interesting.
It used to be a big hole there.
That's an interesting perspective.
I mean, because I'm telling you, as an athlete, you can't shake it. I mean, you really can't. Women that I see right now that I've known 30-something years, when I was in my 20s, I was in their 20s, they were in their 20s. But I know some of the stuff they did, the jacket that we put on them. I hate to say it, they're cool girls.
But still, you
look at them as that hoe, you know.
Well, that's an interesting, A, that you're an athlete and you told her first and foremost to not date any other athletes. And it's also interesting that jacket that you wear, you know, if you hoe in your 20s, you're likely to be hoeing.
Well, you're not likely.
But you're labeled.
You can change. I mean, look, women change. Men change, too. I mean, they really do. I mean, you don't, because with a lot of women and people, dads, they become fathers and they become mothers and grandmothers, and they don't do that anymore. It's things they did when they were young, but you just can't shake it.
So let me ask you this, because I'm sure as an athlete, a lot of, I'm not saying you, but a lot of your...
Me too.
I wasn't saying
I'll just
that.
Say it. Me too.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of athletes are promiscuous.
That's no
secret.
Look, you ain't got to sugarcoat it. We hoes. We call ourselves that. I was a hoe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It is nothing to be proud of.
You can agree that's the jacket you're gonna have, like, be labeled as, because for a prime, like a long amount of time, that was your MO because you're an athlete.
Well, for a guy, yes, but it's different for men, and I'm not saying it's right. And let's get that straight right now. When you're young and you're male, you do things. I mean, and men, we can do things that women can't do, and it's not saying it's right. It's like, because men, we can have sex with a woman, and okay. Me clean up, man. I got to head home to my wife. Hit on my girl. Hold on. I'm like, hey, baby. I got to go home, and have no emotions. And really have no emotions. All this is sex to us. Well, women are different. I mean, and that's the reality of it. I mean, some women can do what men do, but it's just not a good look. It's not even a good look for us. I mean, and I'm just being honest about it. When you get older, you see it like that. I mean,
You didn't see it like that during the time.
Hell no.
Right.
I was trying to hit as many as I could. Just the truth. I mean, I was that guy. I'm saying I was young. I was good looking back in the day. I had the body.
He had the body.
I had it all. I just got out the shower. I had my towel so low looking in the mirror. Now I have it up.
Damn, I'm fine.
Bam, I'm fine. Yeah. Now I got up like I got titties. I got to pull my neck almost, like embarrassed.
And your prime time is gone, come and gone.
It's gone. Man. It's
so
gone.
Yeah,
it's
pair confidence with women and money and
stardom.
All that.
And stardom. Yes, I think the big thing is the stardom. And I wasn't that guy. I was not arrogant. I didn't never try to. I didn't mistreat women. You know, even a lot of girls I went out with, even way back then, we're still friends. I mean, those kind of girls.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, I just, in some ways, I felt bad.
Right.
I mean, but I always try to treat them nice unless, you know, you say something across me. Oh, man, then you finna get the real cursing out.
Right.
I mean, you finna
tell. You're respectful to a certain point.
I'm respectful. I want to be respectful because I feel like everybody has feelings, and they do. Even when I was young, I felt like that. But still, I was doing what I did. I mean, and, you know, all of us guys did it. I mean, it was, you know, like I said, we're nothing to be proud of.
I mean, I respect that. A lot of men, I think especially more nowadays, younger guys, this generation is a little bit different. Not like, you can even see like the music and shit that we listen to. Like, not only do, like, it's one thing, I'm a woman, and some hoes is just hoes.
Well,
some people are just hoes.
Some girls are just, I mean, some women are just, they just what they hoes. They really are, they hoes. And some guys, I mean, they still try to do that same life at 50, 60 years old, still out there hoeing, having 3 and 4 girls. I'm like, what the hell I'm going to do with 3 and 4 women at 50 years old? I can't hardly stay awake at night. You know?
But at least, like I'm saying, the difference is, you know, you respect people. You might not want to be in a relationship or marry the chick or the guy. Mm-mm. However, you respect people. And I think my biggest issue with a lot of younger men or men now is that there's like a disrespect and a disregard that goes for women. There's a lot of bitches and hoes and a lot of name calling. And I think that is kind of homosexual.
Well, I don't know if it's
homosexual. I mean, I think you like women, but you like pussy, but you don't like women. And I think that's weird.
No, it's not even that. Yeah, a lot of it, you got to understand, is how you're raised. You know, your upbringing. That's what it comes down to.
What do you think your upbringing had to do with why you I think you're just a man also.
I was a man, but I was young, and, I, you know, my mom and dad, my mom, because my dad died when I was 17, but my mom kept a close rein on me. I mean, almost like a girl. Like, I couldn't do nothing.
Oh, really?
I mean, seriously. So I was like, boy, when I get out of here, I'm going to get at it. I mean, like the preacher's daughter, the preacher's son.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because you were an athlete?
No. My mom and dad was real strict. They had, you know, their morals were, you know, real morals. But, you know, my mother was always like, let me tell you something, boy. You know, don't you ever hit a woman. If I ever hit about you, I'll beat your ass.
Right.
You know, and I was taught at a young age. You know, you don't hit women. You know, you don't disrespect people. Now, you don't let anybody disrespect you either. So that's how I was taught. And I was my dad always had a saying, you treat people the way you want to be treated. And he told me that at a young age. And I still believe that. I mean, I treat a person like I'm not better. None of us are better than anyone. I mean, these bullshit, I'm going to say like the so-called like superstars. You're no different from the guy that delivers the trash.
Right.
What are you? I mean, when it comes time to die, you're going to die just like I am. Right. They could have the biggest funeral in the world. You're still going to put your ass in the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, so mm-hmm. that's my belief. And I think, you know, some guys, I mean, I see it. I still see it now. Guys who got this big head and they treat people, excuse my mind, kind of fucked up. And I don't like it, but, you know. I
can only imagine how it gets worse as you age out of being an athlete. Like, being an athlete that treats people badly and you're at the top of your game, and then suddenly you're retired and you're not the hottest anymore. Like, how do those athletes, guys that you came up with, like, have you seen how that has changed them? Or does it make them worse,
Sometimes.
Or does it humble them?
Sometimes good and bad. So some of them are humble and some of them are even worse. Because some of them are still, they stars. People,
stars in their own right.
In their own right. Their own right. But they're not the young guy. They're not the Odell Beckham. They're not the Todd Gurley's, you know.
Well, they're not currently playing. Yeah,
anymore. Those are the current guys. And they are. But some guys think they're still current. You know, like a guy, you know, he'll say, you know, I'm the greatest, you know. And some guys say that, you know, they feel like they are. But, you know, it can be humble. You see some guys who are humbled by it. And you see guys that say, man, I was a nice guy. Mm-hmm. I was a nice guy back then. And you see guys that are, you know, that still have that I'm better than you attitude.
Right.
And it just goes both ways.
But what was your upbringing like? Were you just, because I know you're from Texas, where you're like, did you come from like a two-parent home? Was it pretty normal?
Well, I'll say this much here. I came from a two-parent home. I was adopted. My mother had me when she was 15 years old. I found my mom was my, I was told she was my sister. So I found out through a teacher that my mother was my mother, who my real mom was my mother. A teacher told me at school one day.
How old were you?
I was, I think I was 13.
And your teacher told you that?
My teacher told me. A teacher told me.
Was she trying out of spite?
Yeah, it was out of spite. The lady's name was Miss Holiday. She's passed away. Miss Holiday was her name. And my real mother's name.
That's an evil name for an evil Holiday.
Miss Holiday. Oh, I can't think of it. Bonnie Ruth Holiday was her name. Uh-huh. Bonnie Ruth Holiday. And she was my teacher. And so class was over, and she said, I want you to stay after class, Eric. I said, okay. So
in class, she like premeditated this.
Oh, yeah. When I watched, I come to the desk, she said, so have you seen your daddy? I said, my dad's at home. She said, no, boy, your real daddy. I said, who? She said, go home and ask your mom. Go in there. She said, cause my mother called her Miss Red. That was kind of her nickname. My adopted mother was Miss Red, mm-hmm. Paola. But she was real light, so they called her Miss Red. And she said, ask who your real daddy is. So I said, oh, okay. So I went home and I walked in the house, and my mother was standing. Paola is my adopted mom. She was really my great great aunt. Okay. She was standing, and my dad was sitting. And I said, Mom, who is Richard Seals? And I still remember her reply, what? Who the hell told you that? And I said, Miss Holiday, what the hell did she tell you? She said that Richard Seals is my dad, and y'all know my parents. And my dad was sitting there, and he said, and she, boy, she went off. Because my mother had a bad temper. I mean, she was like a pistol packer. I mean, seriously. I mean, she was no joke.
It's so funny because I never knew that side of her. True. She was like so much older by the time I have a memory of her.
Yeah, but Mama was, she was tough. I mean, she was really tough. Like her dad killed a man. Her brother killed his wife. I mean, they didn't mess around.
Right.
And so she said, and my dad said, settle down, because he called her Red. Settle down, Red. Settle down. She said, what the hell did that bitch tell you? And I said, she told me that Helen's my real mother. And y'all adopted me. And I remember my dad's reply. He said, I knew it was about time for us to tell him. Mm. He said, sit down. But my mom was Viola, so she called Helen, which was next door. And she said, Helen, come over here and told this boy about Richard. And I heard the screen door slam. She woke, and it was about 60 yards away. She come running over.
Oh,
Helen. Helen. What did that bitch tell you? What did she... I said, so he said, settle down. My dad was so calm, settle down.
So all the women were freaking out.
Freaking out. So she said, I told her what she told me. That she said that you're my mama, and they're not my parents. They adopted me. Because I would always tell mama, my real mother, Helen, because like, I thought she's my sister. They told me she's my sister. I would say, she would tell me to do something. I said, you ain't my mama. You can't tell me what to do. And
oh,
she
my
said,
God, could you imagine?
Oh, she said, say, mom, she told me, she later, she bit. Told me, she said, I'm your mom with your little black ass. She's not saying that to herself because she couldn't say nothing.
Right.
And so she went over. She was going to kill her.
The teacher?
Yeah, she wanted to get the pistol to go kill her. My dad, wouldn't take the gun. So she went over to her house.
Who, your mom was going to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Went over to her house and beat on her. Bitch, open this door. Because they lived about 100 yards away.
I mean, what? You had to every, bold. For everybody yeah. to know everybody's business like
it
that.
It is. It's a small town. It's a town. You got to think it's a smaller 2,000.
And I don't fault her. 2,000
people. 2,000 people. 2,000 people.
I
that house, she lived straight ahead. Come out the house, the house is straight ahead across it. Yeah. That's where she lived, right there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I could hear, bitch, come out of you, mother. I'm telling this boy about it. You ain't got no right to do that. So anyway, I kind of settled down. And then they told me the whole story,
Well, but, how did you feel when they were asking you that? Were you, like, in disbelief? Or were you just
no,
like,
you know,
the bottom
it,
of it?
It answers some questions. Because I always wonder why my parents were older than everyone else. It's just curiosity. Like,
how old were they?
They adopted me. I think Mama said they were, like, 60. Like 58 or 60 when they adopted me.
So then by this time, they were like in their 70s?
Yeah, they're in their 70s.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They were in their 70s. My dad died. I think he was 72 when he died. Uh-huh. So, it was just kind of, I don't know, everybody's parents young except my parents. I didn't know about sex and all that kind of stuff having babies, so I didn't.
Right, or that baby at a certain age, she wouldn't have done it.
I didn't know that, because they're talking about, I was still talking about the stork that delivered kids.
The stork?
Yeah, delivered kids. They were still telling us that lie. The stork came by. Oh, the stork came by last night, bro.
Dropped off this new beautiful baby. Mm-hmm.
So, but it didn't change me. I mean, it really didn't change much. I mean.
Did it change your relationship with your real mom or your sister?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, how did that grow?
It's hard to remember. It's been so long, but it evolved. Man, Helen just came like sister and brother. I mean, we were tight.
Did you always feel like she was, did you ever feel like she was like your mother at any point? Because I feel like growing up, like, I always felt like you guys were son and mother. But maybe that's just because I knew that's what it was. And so
I can say for me, it was like, luckily, it was like I had two moms. It really was. Mm. It was like, Helen was my mother, and Viola was my mom. I mean, both of them. I had that mother.
Did you reserve, more respect for one, like
Mama Viola, because she raised me. Right. I mean, she was there. She
not
raised.
Respect, but you but know what I mean? Like that motherly,
yeah, that motherly like, thing. Yeah, because and one thing, she was older, so I was always kind of like worried about her because she's older. And I remember my dad died. You know, I remember my dad died. You know, she was by herself. It was just us. Even though my mother and her stepfather, her husband was my stepfather, mm-hmm. lived right next door, which mm-hmm. was probably 30 yards away. Mm-hmm. And I saw them every day, like my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And I told they were my cousins, you know, so that they really were my brothers and sisters.
Wait, Lisa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Lisa wasn't born yet. But Robin and Leo.
So after you found out, they still said these were your cousins?
No. Not
either. You said, so yeah. Your real mom, Helen. Mm-hmm. She had kids after you, but you still were not a buddy.
She was still relatively young too, and she had like
when she had Noonie, and she had my brother Leo. She was young because she had me. She was 15, and she got my brother Robert next, and then
how
she
much
had,
older are I think, you than him?
I think I'm 58, and I think Noonie's I think he's 50. 50 or 51.
Oh, okay, so it was like an 8-year difference.
And him and Leo, they're only like 13 months apart.
And they didn't know either.
No, they didn't know. They were too young. They didn't know. But you know, it was. I can say it's, you know, it's so hard to remember back then, but it didn't change anything.
You weren't angry?
Mm-mm. I wasn't angry at all. Mm-mm. I wouldn't want them kind of kids to be angry because, first of all, Viola wasn't having that angry shit. You get that nonsense. Angry about what? Get your ass whipped.
Right, you're eating every day. You gotta move.
Yeah, I'm angry. But I won't forget one time, man. I thought I was 13 years old. I think I was about 15. And I rolled my eyes. She said to me, I rolled my eyes. Man, she went behind the door and got that shotgun. I said, boy, I'll kill your black ass. You blow, shoot, don't you ever roll your eye. I'll never forget that. And I said, Mama, please don't shoot me. and then later on, I said, Mama, you got that gun, don't shoot me. She said, that gun wasn't loaded. But I didn't know that.
You never rolled your
eyes again. No, hell no. I never talked back, even when I got older. I mean, I remember the time she would yell at me, I would be so mad. I was in the pros, playing pro football. But I didn't say nothing back. One time I came home, I was supposed to take her to the mall or something. I didn't do it. She yelled and cursed at me. And I got my rental car. I went back to the airport, and I just went back to California. I didn't say I'm leaving. I didn't say nothing.
Do you think, like, because I don't know if you know this, Terrell Owens, I think, has a similar story.
Our situation is very similar. I know T.O. and we
I
talked
didn't
about.
Know that. I know because you guys have had a Facebook show together.
Yeah, his dad lived right across the street. Yeah, right across.
And maybe he was having an affair with the woman across the street.
Yeah, the mom was having an affair. The dad was having an affair with the mother right across.
The woman across the street.
Yeah, it was right across the street, right up the street. It was like right.
So for close. Years, he thought.
Mm-mm. He didn't even know that was that.
His dad.
He just thought he didn't have a dad.
I forgot.
Oh, yeah, cause I think that his real dad is married to a woman across the street, his wife and their kids, and he just didn't know, he just thought he didn't have a dad. And so he somehow, later in life, he found out that man was his father, and all his neighbors were his siblings.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So, oh, wow. I was going to say, I don't know where he's from. Do you think this is something that has... happens often in like the black community? You think it's down south? You think it's just some shit that happens?
It happens. It can happen black, white. It can happen anywhere. But I mean, I think, you know, we black people have a tendency to keep it quiet.
In the family.
That's how it was back in those days, in the 60s and 70s. You kept it quiet. I mean, you didn't talk about it. You didn't tell. I mean, basically, like mama, my mother, then, I mean, Viola, you know, telling that I was, that was my sister. I mean, mm-hmm. That lie went on till I found out.
Right.
I mean, you think
it would have just kept going?
I think it would. I think eventually it told me. But I think after a while, I started asking questions because I did have some questions I wanted to ask. But
you would never ask them until then?
Man, no. You don't ask them kind of questions back in them days. Not to, like these kids now, they'll pop off to their mom like, Mom, I can't stand you. Mm. You know, F you, Mom. You know. Oh, my God. God, I'd have been dead so long ago. I mean, really, because mother, she just literally killed me if I told her, I can't stand you, but I'll F you. Right. That don't happen. I mean, but, you know, it's just, that's how life is. That's how life was for back in the South, in the small town.
Do you think that experience affected, like, your parenting in any way, you as a father?
I think maybe, you know, I'll say for me, you know, when I think of my daughter Erica here, you know, I mean, her mom, you know, got together, and you know, Erica, my mom got pregnant. I wasn't ready to have a child. I mean, I was still immature.
How old were you?
I was 26, I think, 26 years old. 25 going to be 26. I was immature. I mean, I really was. I mean, you know, and I was always a big believer that men mature for women, just because, you know, but
mature before women.
I used to believe that when I was young. Thank you. I laugh too now. It's funny.
I must have misheard that.
Yeah. It's a big joke. It's a lie. But you know, as a man, you don't want to hear a woman mature before you. I mean, come on, we're men. We mature first. Mm-hmm. But trust me, it doesn't work. It doesn't happen like that. You know, I tell Erica, I say, and I made a lot of mistakes. You know, with our mother, my mom too. Both of us. We both were young, but I made a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes that I can't correct and make right, because, you know, Erica's older and, you know, things that wasn't always smooth, you know, when she was coming up. You know, I didn't see her for a long time. And I tell people, you know, they got kids, guys, you're like, man, that baby. I said, man, it's not that child's fault. I said, I'm going to tell you, I said, don't have regrets. I say, like me, I have regrets, because they see how close we are now. But I still tell them I have regrets. I mean, I have things that I wish that I could do over. And I think a lot of you dads, man, don't be mad. I mean, look, sometimes, in some cases, the women ain't worth a damn, but it's not the child's fault. It's not that child's fault. And vice versa. Sometimes the man ain't worth a damn. Right. And the woman be like, you know, that's sorry, but that's still that child's dad. And someday they might want to have a relationship with the dad, even though he ain't worth the shit.
So there's no need to project those.
No, it's not, you know. And you know, as bad as me and her mom got along back then, you know, I tried never to say, look, your mom ain't worth a damn, your mom. I mean, I didn't want to do that.
No, I don't have any memories.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that because I kept it to myself. I didn't want.
Did I overhear some arguments?
Yeah, yes. probably did. But I always wanted to know. That's her mother. You know, that's her mother. That's why when you tell your mom I ain't gonna be your bitch.
You thought it was funny, but you also
I did think
it
was funny. But still, no matter if me and her mom wasn't getting along then. But still, one thing was I'm never gonna have the child disrespect her mother, because I saw the sacrifice her mom made for her. Mm-hmm. You know, even dealing with my crazy ass, mm-hmm, back in the day, because I won't forget it, our Christmas party. This was about, I don't know, a long time ago. I told your mom, I don't know if your mom ever told you, but I told her.
Is this when they came?
Yeah, they came to the party.
Oh my God, this was the first time. No, yeah. It was New Year's.
Yeah, it was a New Year's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that day. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it, because it was the first time my parents ever celebrated any holiday together.
In the same room.
I was like literally going in the bathroom and crying by myself. like tears of joy. I was like,
how old were you?
Like, I was right. It was like a year before Irie, so it was probably
Yeah, yeah. It was a long time.
Oh, I mean, no, five years ago, maybe six years ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
No, I mean, 6 years ago.
It wasn't that long ago. I mean, and I told her mom. I said I want to talk. I told her I want to talk to you about something. And I said, Rianne, I want to say this. I said, you know, we and you ain't always agreed on things. And she said, but I just want to say to you that. I just want to thank you for being a good mom to our child. Mm-hmm. I said, because I know, I said, I wasn't easy to deal with. Right. I said, you did a great job with Erica. I said, and I wasn't there all the time. And she said, Erica, I just can't believe you saying that. And I couldn't believe I was saying it, because I remember I told her one day, she said, one day we might be friends. This is when we was younger. I said, I will never be your friend. I told her that. I will never be friends. but just to go show you how all of us grow and change. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. I mean, because, I mean, I talked to her mom like I talk to anybody.
Honestly, I never thought I'd see the day, because like growing up, there was always such a big divide, and it was always like I was in the middle playing telephone. Like, tell your mom.
Yeah, tell your mom this. Yeah, tell your dad this.
Tell your mom. I'm like, goddamn.
My memory is always so good.
Yeah. And I never had hope in it. I just kind of just was like, my parents don't get along. This is what it is.
Right.
And now to see the relationship you have with my mom is so surreal sometimes. Like, my mom be like, yeah, talk to your dad. I'm like, well, about what?
Yeah.
Me? No, not you, actually. Mm-hmm,
yes.
I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Yeah, she'll call. You know, just talk, we're talking
no,
about.
No, but I love that. And I think that's, you know, and I think seeing that also, I think, well, because of my mom and yours relationship growing up, I didn't want to have kids. And I was like, I don't think I even want kids. Like, because you just never know how things are going to end up.
And that's true.
You don't know if you're going to end up with the person. You don't know what the relationship's going to be. And it just seems real hard. So, but then when I, you know, now that I have one, of course, I don't regret it. But I'm not with her father. But seeing the progress, I'm so glad I got to see all the bad shit turn into something good. Because now that I am raising Irie as a single mom, it's so important. I know that we can cut through all that. We don't have to do all that.
Right, right.
Let's just not do that. Like,
let's not let it wait 25 years.
Yeah, let's not do that. Like, yeah, we got to go through some stuff to get to the here, like, and I realized that because me and him have only been separated for a year and a half, and obviously this took like 25 years in the making. but like, I know that it's possible.
It happened, yeah.
You know, I know if my parents can come together, like, and they had a lot of water under the bridge, a lot, like, I know that I can too.
Let me tell you, you're right, Erica, that's true, because, you know, I can honestly say, and this is, it's almost embarrassing. It's just the things you're embarrassed about when you say that you thought. I mean, I had an unnatural hatred for her mother. Unnatural hatred. And I said, to me, I'm so glad I don't feel like that at all. And I never thought that would go away. To me, it's like, it's funny. And I'm like, how could I feel like the way about it? That's your daughter's mom. I mean, I can think of my good friend who's passed on, Bird, named Louis Cone Bird. He would say, Eric, he said, man, that's that child's mother, man. You can't be hate. I said, that's ain't gonna change. He said, one day it will. I never thought it would. But like I say, man, all that went on between us, no matter. It's just
what do you think it was that, like, was it you having other kids that kind of?
Eric, I just think it was just maturity. You just, like I say, being immature. And I say this, selfishness. Men were selfish. You know, man, you don't want it. Like me, I'm a realist. I tell it like it is. You might not like it, but it's the truth. Even by myself, I was immature, and I had I got that burger. When I get a hard on for you, it's on. It's not going in. And I just had to let that go because, you know, I saw how it would divide us too. You know, it would divide me and you. And I didn't want that. I didn't want to have the relationship. And I look at Richard, my real dad. I don't have no bad. I don't have nothing against Richard. I don't really know Richard.
Okay, that's my dad. You know him now. Okay.
I know him, but I don't really know him. Mm-hmm. Like if I say, like, hey, what's up, Richard? You know, but
there's
I don't.
Fatherly.
Richard is like that guy walking down the street over there. Mm-hmm. I mean that's how I feel about it. And right. Nothing. And I don't have no hatred for him. Nothing like that. But you know, I don't make sure that. I didn't have that with my daughter. I wanted to make sure that, you know, she knew me, you know, and knew all about me, how much I love her, even though for my shortcomings. I mean, with her mother, and it was a lot. I mean, I gotta say, it was a lot on me and her too, but it was a lot on me because, you know, it was just being young and dumb.
Did you feel like she took away like your young, single, babyless freedom?
No, I mean, yeah, I guess in a sense, but no, I gotta say. I feel bad because a lot of times, I didn't see Erica for a long time, like 3 years at one point when she was born. I mean, and think about that. When you're a child needs to see the dad, boy or girl. You need to have a bond with your child. And that's something I can't redo, you know, and I regret that. But like I say, I was 26 years old, you know, playing sports, traveling, you know, girls, and they tell you how great you are and all that kind of crap. But, you know, I can say this much. You know what really, really... kept beating into my head, my mom about your
grandma. Oh, I remember because
she would not let it go. She said, "Eric, I want to see that child. I want to see her." I mean, both of them, Helen too. They want to see you. I'm like, no. Nah. I mean, they would not. That's a baby, Eric. You know, and then after a while, I could hear my mother, you know, just saying that that's a child. You can't be that. She don't deserve that. You know, she didn't do nothing. So for me, you know, just over time. You know, the barriers started letting down, and I talked to her mother, and we laughed about certain things, and, you know, wasn't arguing anymore about money, and, you know, this is my weekend, you didn't come pick her up today, you know, and so, you know, you just change. I mean, you really do. You change. That's why I say people can change. They really can, but you got to want to change.
Right.
I mean, I could have chosen to still be angry.
Like, what would that have gotten?
But what that got me?
You just lost.
I mean, all the years with my daughter, my grandchild, Iri. I mean, that would have been horrible. So,
do you think that because Richard wasn't around even after you discovered this happened? Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like an abandonment from your dad? Because I know you had a father, mm-mm. But like,
not really. No, I know your question. No. Not at all. My dad was Kerry Dickerson. That was my dad. I mean,
because I made my dad reach out to Richard.
So prior to that, you never had reached out to him before?
No, I talked to him. I seen him. But
you kind of.
But I was kind of like, you know.
She wanted to see him. She wanted to meet him.
Because like in middle school, we start doing this genealogy things in the family tree. It's always so funny for black people because it always ends like. You know, right before slavery.
My great great-grandparents. They're
like, but no, but where are you from? I'm like, I don't know.
I hate that shit.
But they would ask me about, like, you know, the simple, it's very quick step into the family tree for me, like, grandfather.
Bam!
And it's like, well, I never knew Carrie.
Oh, he passed it when he was 17, right?
And so I was like, I knew that my biological grandfather was still alive. And I was like, so one time I think I asked my dad if I could talk to him on the phone and ask him some questions. And so I think I was in, like, I probably like was around 12. And so I called him, we asked questions, and that was the last time I talked to him. And then...
Till this day?
No. Oh. So then my dad reconnected with met his sister.
Yeah, my sister. So I know I have.
Richard went and had other children. Right. So he had a sister, and she reached out to my dad, and they started forming a relationship, and then I met her, and she was like, you know, my dad knows about you, obviously. Do you want to meet him? And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went to Texas and I met him. And it's crazy because my dad looks a lot like him.
Really?
He's lighter than him. Mm-hmm. But then I see myself, too. And it's so weird to, like, meet someone that you've never met.
That looks like you.
Obviously is your related to you.
Yeah, but when I look at you, I see my mom. I see Helen.
Helen, too.
Man, I see my mother. She looks just like you. Even your sister, Carrie, looks just like my mother, Helen. But yeah, I mean, I didn't feel that for Richard. I mean, when I lost my dad, and when my dad died, it devastated me. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, I was devastated. I mean, I was 17 years old. I still remember the day to this. I still remember the day he died, November 3rd, 1977. I was in ad class. I will never forget where I was. I used to see that whole scene all over again. That's how devastated I was. I was mad at God. Because I said, why am I? Because my dad, and people say this, my dad was a good man. I mean, a good Christian man. And, you know, you see what you see how people act. You see their actions. My dad was always soft-spoken. He talked soft. But had a deep voice. But, you know, if he said, Eric, I'm like, I must be in trouble. And so, you know, he was such a good man. I had a buddy of mine. He said, Eric, my grandmother. He said, I never met your dad. He said, my grandmother didn't like nobody. She saw it. Nobody. She said, but she talked about your dad. She said, that Mr. Dix, Carrie Dixon, she said, that's a good man. He said, that was a good man. And so,
You knew it was true.
I knew it was true because my dad was just, he was just that guy. It was always about the Bible and God. That always came first to him. And, you know, but I didn't have him long. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have him long at all. And still, and a lot of things that he taught me, forgiveness. You got to forgive, son. You can't hold these anger. And, you know, like I said, he died when I was young, but there's so much he taught me in that little bit of time that I still remember. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, after a while, so many years, you know, me and her mom was able to, for, you know, my part, just kind of let it go. Mm-hmm. I mean, just let it go. And this man, it's great now. I mean, I talk to mommy and my mom, laugh, talk, I mean.
It's probably a way. I mean, I always say like this, too. Like, I can hold on to some shit, too. Like, I'm good at that. But when you let it go, it just feels so much better.
It feels so much better.
Like, I don't have to, we spend so much energy being mad. That's angry.
It. It takes more energy
to be mad. It takes more energy to be mad. Because people say, so man, so you know, I say, oh no, I'm cool with Ren. Really? People should, really? No, I'm cool with Ren now. Yeah.
How do you think, from your perspective as his daughter, how do you think that affected you growing up? Like, they're not getting along, or him being an athlete. Like, now that you're 31 and you have your own child, and now you're a single mom, how do you think that affected you?
I think it greatly affected me. Like you said, like, I think daughters need their fathers. And I think because of that, that's why I was like, I don't want to have kids. Because I was like, it was really rough growing up, and... You know, their relationship was, I just figured it was never going to be.
It was volatile sometimes.
And, you know, I think also because, you know, I didn't have him around all the time. I didn't know how to deal with men either, or boys, or, like, how to, like, talk about things, too. I developed a habit early on about, like not letting my emotions go. So anytime I would talk about, my mom would be like, do you want to talk about, like, your dad? And I'd be like, I hate you! Like, I don't want to talk about it! And I'd just, like, explode. And she'd be like, okay, like, let's try that again next time. I think I learned to, like, just hold a lot of things in. And, like, I think as our relationship has grown, and I remember, like, one day you called me and you were like, I need to talk to you. And, like, we sat down. I'll never forget. It was in the Commons at that Fish King place. And you told me that Mama had come and you had a dream about our relationship, and she told you, like, you needed to talk to me.
I need to talk to you.
And you did, and I cried, and a lot. We both cried, and yeah. I think that was, like, the beginning of us really, like, starting to let everything go and work on our relationship.
Yeah.
Do I think our relationship is perfect? No. Do I think, like, the what's happened in the past... Do I look at you like my dad? I don't have any other dad. Even like my mom remarried, and I never like looked at. As a matter of fact, I would tell him all the time, which is probably why me and him have a difficult relationship, because I was very adamant about, you're not my dad, you know, and like that's hard for like someone coming in to a relationship with a single mom. So I'm actually curious about like Irie, like how she would deal with that, how like. Because I know I was not having it.
Like when you start to date someone new, seriously.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, I always respected my dad. And I did fear him most of my life. I did. Because you would come in and out, and then, like, you'd have, like, my mom has had a different way of disciplining me.
My rules.
And then you had your rules. And your rules were very much, like, you know... Strict and like, go get the switch, and I'm gonna beat your ass. You do that again. My mom never talked to me like that.
You're right, you're right.
And I'm like, oh my god, like I'm never like I'd be tiptoeing through his house. I remember he's like, no shoes in the house, and I was like, no running in the house. Like I did not want to get in trouble with my dad, and if my mom threatened to call my dad, I'd be like, fuck. This is the time he's gonna be spanking me, because I don't never think you ever really spanked me.
I might have spanked you scared. One time.
Just a threat was enough.
I think I spanked you one time. And I won't forget one time, and I made you stand in the corner at the house, and I still have a picture of it. She's and she's looking over her shoulder like this. And my mom said, let that baby out that corner.
Oh my goodness.
Right, well, it's always the grandmas that come in, and suddenly they're nice. Yeah, they're not disciplinaries anymore. Yeah,
let that baby out that corner.
They don't bring the shotgun out anymore.
Really.
No, but I think it definitely affected me, for sure. You know, I don't know how it couldn't. You know, I think that's why I think it's so important for Irie to have her father in her life. And I think I go sometimes above and beyond what a normal person... I tolerate more than someone else might, because, like, it's so important. Their relationship to me comes first before anything that me and him are going through. And yeah, it's like, you know, our relationship is not perfect at all. We're cool. He came over today. We were cool. You know, but at the end of the day, I just want her to not... ever say, like, my, you know, like, my dad didn't show up, he didn't come, he wasn't here, he wasn't there, like, and I never want him to feel like I didn't give him the opportunity.
Right, you can never say it was
you
me.
Can never say that I didn't say you could come, you know, and, you know, I think also, I think dad, like, I don't know if you, I think that you having other kids has made you more, like, kids that live in your house.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that
you're, like, raising daily, you know, it gives you, like, a different perspective. Like, I've seen you change.
Oh, yeah, I get a chance.
I have. I've even seen you change. I'll never forget that. This was one time you took me to like Disneyland or something. I was really young, and on my best behavior. And there was a little kid in line, and he was acting a fool, like acting crazy. And my dad, this is before he had other kids. And take in mind, you know, like I was like, I didn't see him a lot, so we were like having a trip together. This is like, and so I was on my best behavior, and the kid was having a fit. And my dad was like, if that motherfucker was my kid, I would take his ass and I would whoop the shit out of him. This is fucking... And the kid, because the kid was going on, he was having a full-blown tantrum in a line of a roller coaster. Right. So we were having to tolerate it for like 30 minutes.
Right.
So my dad was losing his temper, and I was like, oh my God, this is why I'm going to be so good this trip.
Because I don't want none of that.
But now, like, having two kids living in... Like, I see... Yeah. I see Dallas and I see Carrie have their moments, and I see the patience that you didn't have in that line.
Yeah,
because it's different.
True, it's different. But
well, it's different when it's also your kid.
Yeah,
too.
But Eric, I'll say this: it's different when you get older too. I gotta say it's older, because I mean your sister Eric, I mean Carrie. Whoo, my God.
That was your karma.
Yeah, shit.
Oh, for
man,
sure.
That was your karma. Your next girl is going to be
so bad. I mean, but, you know, I whooped her ass too. I just told her a couple of weeks ago. You know, she wanted to talk back to her mom. I said, let me explain something to you. I said, you 13. I said, I beat your ass. I said, I'm letting you know I still whoop your ass. You do understand that, don't you? Yeah, Dad. I said, know that. I mean, I don't mess around. I mean, I'm the disciplinarian. That's how I was taught. I feel like my big thing is I got to say, it makes you feel good as a parent when people talk, commend your child. How about how good they're... I won't forget, we had a... You're probably 20 years old, Erica, and you were at the house one day, and it was some guys, some of my friends there with their wives, and they weren't even... Like, systematically, one guy said, man, Eric... Man, Erica's such a sweet child. Man, she's such a nice girl. Man, she's such a lady. I mean, do you know how good that made me feel? That's one reason I want to tell her mom what a great job she did. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I didn't do all that.
Right.
But she said, man, and another guy, man, Erica's such a nice girl. Man, she's such a sweet person. And that made me feel good. And I told Carrie, I said, I want people to say, you know, you're a good child, not that badass child over there doing stuff. And one day we're in the grocery store, and the guy came up to me and said, Eric, man, I say, man, your daughter's such a nice girl, such a sweet child. It made me think of you. I say, and that's an enjoyment for me to hear that. I mean, most definitely, I can still be tough, but you know, mostly I'm talk now. I tell them I'm whoop your ass now. But you know, that voice, I think the voice scares them more than anything. But I can say this much: it's nothing like having kids. I still have regrets, and I mean, I just said to you, Eric, I have regrets. You know what happened with me and your mom and time I didn't get a chance to spend with you, but I'm, you know, you can't never make up the time, but I'm glad I have the time. I'm glad to where I'm at with you now, you know, and I have a granddaughter, you know, it's a good thing. I'm gonna say that and just watch grow. I tell young men this all the time, man, take time with your kids, man, because you one day you're gonna look up. I remember when you were little, I still have the picture when I took you over to David Hasselhoff's house. Mm-hmm. And you riding a horse on the merry-go-round. I still got that picture in my house. I mean, I remember, you know, these times you know, those times go fast. But
do you think your kids teach you lessons?
Most definitely they do. I mean, they do. They try to teach you patience, especially when a kid tells you, like, you hurt their feelings or something, you know, and you too rough on them. You know, even because Kerry said to me, Dad, you're kind of rough on Dallas. I feel bad for him.
Like aggressive, like yeah, physically, like, or like no, verbally? Just
verbally.
Emotionally, verbally. Yeah.
Because when he told her, he told Carrie, Dallas told.
Wait,
Carrie.
So tell the
okay.
She
okay. My daughter's name is my other daughter's name yeah. is Carrie, and your brother's name is Dallas, his mother's son.
And
he's six, and she's at this time she was 12 when it happened, and so I was mad at him. I forgot what it was, and. She came to me, Carrie said, Dad, she said, you're kind of rough on Dallas. I said, why would you say what he said? She said he came and he looked so sad. He said, see, he don't like me.
Yeah. Oh,
he
no.
said, so he love you. He don't like me. My dad, he don't even like me.
Oh,
like
me.
And that made me feel bad.
Yeah.
that made me feel real bad. So, you know, I'm not as tough on him. He's tough. I mean, he's tough too, but you know, of course you soften up when you get kids. But I'm telling you, everything is with age. And I never believed that, you know, but let me just tell you, when you get older and you start seeing your life go before you, I just start seeing you get older, looking like me, mm-hmm. looking like your grandmother. Because, you know, like I tell Carrie this, I even tell Dallas this. I say, I tell him what I'm trying to explain to you. I say, because one day your dad not going to be here. I tell her he's going to school. Even before Dallas was born, I said, one day, Carrie, I'm going to die. I said, I want you to remember these times. And the same thing with you, Eric. I want you to remember the times we had. Because I'm going to die one day. I won't be here. And you remember the times that we laughed and talked and did this interview. You know, you can listen to it 30 years from now.
You're going to make me cry.
Yeah. But it's true. I mean, but my dad used to say the same thing to me. He said, son, he said, one day I won't be here, son. I'm going to be gone. He said, and I'm telling you that because I tell any parent, you know, one day we're going to die and our kids are going to miss us. And we're going to miss you too. Because matter of fact, my dad has been dead. I think 42 years now, and I've still cried about him dying. Think about it, start crying, and that just shows, you know, how much I love my dad, and you know I miss him. I mean, and like I tell my kids, and I'll tell you, I said I'm not ready to die. Don't get me wrong.
Please don't die.
But I'm not afraid to die. But man, I can't wait to see my mom and dad again. I can't wait for that day for me to see Mama and Daddy and Helen. All my folks that is gone. And it'll be the same day when, you know, when you get old in Iowa, you'll be it's a cycle, and that's the great thing about life is that if you do it right, it's never gonna be perfect. Know this, I mean, you and Freddie, me and Penny. I mean, none of these relationships are perfect. I mean, people listening, you hear, nothing's perfect out there. You can look at your next door neighbor, say, man, they got the perfect kids, perfect guy. But you don't know what's going on in that household. Mm. Nothing's perfect. The relationships ain't never perfect. Relationships are hard. They are. I mean, it's hard raising kids. It's a job. It's something you have to be dedicated to. And for mothers, I mean, man, if you got a good mama, ain't nothing like it. I mean, I see you as a mom. You know how you deal with Irie. I see Penny how she deals with Carrie and Dallas. And these good mamas, man, it's the best thing, because moms are just so rare. A good mother, a good parent, they're rare. They're rare in the life, and so you know that's. That's it. I mean, that's it.
Do you think you'll be married ever?
I was gonna say, have you ever been married?
No.
I already know the answer for that.
My dad has
told me from the beginning of my relationship ever,
Does your kid's mom press you about it?
My daughter used to press me about it. She don't press me. My Dallas used to press me. He still press me about it. When you gonna marry my mom? I said, I'm already married to your mom. We live together.
And also, my dad has always just been very real and open, as you can tell from this. Talk so far. But I'll never forget when my dad asked me if I lost my virginity, and I remember we were at Cheesecake Factory. We're sitting there and he was like, so are you having sex? And I was like, and he's like, let me just say this real quick, you'll never have sex with as many people as I have, so you might as well just tell me.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And I was just like, I didn't even know what to say. I was like, I had so many visuals happening right
now. I was like, how many is that?
So many things. I was like, I don't want to imagine. And also, I'm like, he's asking me a very personal question. I also was like, you know, I lost my virginity a bit young too. And it was just like,
Were you honest?
Yeah.
Yes, you told me.
How old were you? No, when he asked you.
14.
Oh, 14. Shit.
And I, one thing about, even though me and my dad have always, like throughout my childhood, you know, struggled to have a very close relationship, and it wasn't until we got much older that we really, really worked on it, I always felt comfortable telling him things. I think because there are things I would tell my dad that I won't tell my mom.
I know your mom would say that. She said she'll tell you, but she won't tell me. What?
I don't know. I think my dad doesn't judge. He doesn't have, like, I think also moms, we're just so worried all the time too. Yeah. And like, I think dads just can be a little cooler, even if they're kind of like freaking out inside. I just always felt comfortable. Even to this day, there's things I'm like, please don't tell mom. That.
Yeah, you said don't.
I said that the other day.
Yeah, don't tell mom. I'm not gonna tell your mom. Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, you're right, Erica. It was things you would tell me, things we talk about, and I said, I would just tell you, be honest. I mean, first of all, I know what time it is. I'm gonna forget when y'all had your party at the house, when the girl got on the pool table and danced, and she was in high school. So I asked table. You.
My dad let me have the graduation party at his house. Okay. Mom wasn't going for that.
I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what you like to drink? What you drink? I don't drink. I said, don't lie to me. I know you got a drink you like. I said, tell me what you like to drink. I said, you gonna drink? You gonna stay at the house? You ain't going nowhere. He said, I like apple martini. I said, okay.
I'm an amateur drinker.
That's kind of like low key, kind of classy for a 17-year-old. An apple martini.
I still remember. I let the apple martini. I said, okay, we're going to do apple martini. I said, but you ain't going nowhere. You're going to stay right here tonight.
You got all the apple puckers you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That the whole valley came to the house. Okay.
Oh
Every teenager in the valley showed up.
I don't know how I missed this party. I think you were grade below.
We were at 11. The grade below it.
Yeah. But you missed the party.
11th grade now.
All the alcohol we confiscated from them drunk.
Oh my God. Yeah. He didn't learn his lesson because I had a Halloween.
He had a Halloween party.
And everyone dressed up and hid alcohol in their like Halloween costumes.
That was funny.
Like, there was a guy who was a UPS,
and he had
a box full of alcohol. Didn't make it through security.
You really had security, or was it?
Yeah, we were security. Yeah, my friends were security. We were security.
Sitting out in the front, everyone take their shoes off. There was a pile.
It was
like a pile of shoes.
Shoes piled up outside.
People's shoes got stolen. That's they're right. Like, mind you, someone stole my shoes at your dad's house. I'm like, they're gone. I don't know what to tell you.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I gotta say, you know, I'm gonna say this to you, Erica. I'm so proud of you. I really am. I'm proud of you. I love you. You know, you are a good child. I mean, you're a good child. I mean, I know I don't tell you enough, but I do love you. You made me proud. You made me gonna cry.
I'm gonna cry too. Stop.
You made me proud as a dad. I mean, really, you have. You know, I know how hard you work for your mother's company, and you do a good job. You don't complain. You know, I always tell people about my daughter. I say, one thing about Erica is she's a lot like me in a lot of ways. She don't want nothing. She don't want something for nothing. You know, my daughter, she works. And then it just makes me feel good that you're not one of them kids that's like these millennials think that they're entitled. That I can't stand these entitlements. And you are a good, you're a child. You're a good woman. You're a good young woman. And, you know, I'm proud that you're my child. I thank God. God gave you to me in spite of my shortcomings.
Sometimes you get what you need.
Yeah, not sometimes all
the time. No, but I think I am the way I am because of you, because of my mom, seeing both of you work really hard and excel in whatever it is that you put your mind to. Like, I feel like I have immense shoes to fill all the time. I'm just like, I can't stop. I got to keep going. They didn't stop. Who would I be to just sit around and just, what? Do what? You know? And so I've always seen, you know, your work ethic. Like, you've been able to maintain an amazing career after football, which is so rare. And, like, you know, you look at so many of these players, especially in your time, you aren't getting, like, these contracts that these guys are getting, you know? Like, I know people come up to you in the street, and I'm so proud whenever I see the number 29 walking on street corners, I'm honking and shit. But they assume that you had the luxuries that a lot of these new players are afforded, and you've been able to maintain and, like, you know, sustain, you know, and that's a lot of, even these guys now that are making $500 million or however much, $20 million contracts, $30 million. I mean, your biggest contract, what was, like, $1 million?
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million. That's, damn. People would laugh at that now. Yeah. They'd, like, spit on it.
Oh, they'd laugh. Yeah, they
not, I mean, not to mention all the abuse you put up with. I remember you told us at the house, one of your games in, was it Indianapolis? Or
that they had the sign up with the baby, with the monkey.
Yeah.
No, like a baby with chicken, some fried chicken, and some watermelon.
I can tell you the story. When I was in Indy, my last years, I wanted to get the hell out of there. You know, that place is so racist. Back then, you know, it's racism everywhere. You know, it's part of life. It just is, and it's not going to change. But, they had a sign, like, they, you know, you have the banners that hang, say, you know, we love the coast, or we love blah, blah, blah. They had a big sign, big sheet hanging down. It had a picture of a black baby sitting, like, in a sitting position with a stack of money on one side, watermelons on the other side with fried chicken in his hand with my number and stuff on it. I'm like, wow. I'm like, okay. And, you know, some of the guys laugh. Some of the brothers laugh. I say,
on your own team?
Yeah. I say, oh, y'all think that's funny? I say, they talking about, I say, y'all niggas, they just take the change the number.
Right. It's you.
They're
too.
Like,
right.
Oh, yeah, that ain't funny. I say, oh, now you think it ain't funny.
Right.
And it stayed up there for a while. I guess they eventually took it down. But, you know, I never forgot that. I mean, and I can honestly say, for me, I have had some resentment to that organization for that reason. I mean, I played for the Colts.
Because
they let it happen. And I've never forgotten that. I mean, people ask me, but you played for the Colts. I say, man, don't get me wrong. I played for that team, but I just never forgot that. I've never forgotten that. And it just, that bothered me. That, because I know how wrong, I would never do that. I would never, ever do that. But, you know, people are different.
People,
you know,
are crazy.
But yeah. I mean, between that, also growing up in the South, and, you know, you weren't a segregated, did you, were you in segregated schools?
Yeah, we were segregated schools, yeah.
And, you know, but what I've seen is that you have so many, like, white friends that you, are your brothers. You know what I mean?
You don't, like, have resentment till this day.
Man, let me tell you, some of my best friends, two of my best boys are white guys. I don't look at them as white. I look at them as my friend, my boy Randy Mondello and Chris Leggio. They ain't white to me. Mm-hmm. They just like me.
Right.
Jason, I mean, they people. Yeah. I don't judge a person on the color of his skin. You know, I always look at people who may do crimes and, you know, think about, them niggas and them Mexican, them wetbacks and them chinks. I say, you know, the sad thing about that, I said, I could be your best friend one day. I say, or you go murder that woman over there. That woman could have been the best thing ever happened to you, but you killed her.
Right.
I say, when you die and go to heaven or hell, and say, you know, I'm gonna show you something. When that lady you killed,
right,
that was gonna be your wife. That was gonna change your whole life. Or that guy there that you call a old white cracker, that was gonna be your best friend. He's gonna make you a whole bunch of money. But you ran him off because of ignorance.
Right.
So I just believe that, I just judge a person by who they are, You know, all of us have our prejudice. All of us say prejudice things and racist things. That don't mean you're a racist.
Right.
A racist is somebody who hate a whole race of people. But, you know, it is what it is. This life is...
Do you think that the NFL is still a pretty racist, has a big racist culture, or has it changed? I mean, I'm sure it's changed in some ways because the times have changed.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I mean, there's like all the, you know, it's a pretty like white dominated field. Like all the owners are white, you know, pretty much everyone in a lot of the office. I don't know, maybe the offices are white. Diversifying more. Yeah,
it's
now.
White. It's white. Look, first of all, there's no black owners. That is still a good old white boy system.
And really, there have been people that have tried to be owners.
Yes.
And they kind of keep those people out.
Yeah, they don't want no black owners. I think they have an Indian owner now. But, yeah, I mean, look.
Do you think the NFL is...
No.
Like, Kaepernick isn't going to be the one...
How do you feel about the whole Kaepernick thing and the Pledge of Allegiance? And
I feel like it got lost. It wasn't about the flag. It was about the injustice of police brutality. And
right.
It's not even about being black. They kill white people just like they kill black people.
Mm-hmm.
They kill mostly, you know, people who don't have the money. Minority can't fight back, you
right.
know, after they kill them. But I just feel like that the message got lost. I mean, it really did. And
Why do you think? Like, by who?
Well, they made it about the flag, and it really wasn't about that flag. I mean, and I kept saying this. I said, we care more about a flag than we care about God. That's a flag. That's a piece of material.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. People have died on that flag. Men, women in our country have died because they believe in our freedom and the flag. But, you know, it's a flag. And it's been a big scheme of things. It's the respect factor you have. I mean, just like in the school system now, they don't want you to say the flag, Pledge of Allegiance. They don't want you to say God. And then sometimes schools don't want you to talk about the flag. It's just... We're so hypocritical.
Wait, do they? I thought they wanted you to still do the Pledge of Allegiance.
No, not in school.
Wait, really? Since when?
Oh, no, the Pledge
of Allegiance. So why are they still doing it at the football game?
They don't do it in schools. A lot of schools don't do it. Not every school. When I was a kid, I knew
every
day when you got to discover
it. Every morning.
And you didn't even think about it twice. No, my dad used to tell me.
No, actually, not thinking about it. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
But you got to think about it.
It's crazy.
You got to think about it. If I'm from a different country, but I don't pledge
allegiance to the flag.
I mean, even as black Americans, I don't pledge allegiance to this motherfucking flag.
Do you think that how does it start to change? Is it the players have to take a stand? Because literally,
Let me tell you what would disrupt everything, and it would have to be done just to me, just like this. Let's say you got a Sunday game, and you got the 32 teams, and let's just say, not all, because you can't get everybody, but let's just say on 15 football teams, we'll take 15 teams. Let's say you had 14 guys on each team, 18 guys on each team, say, with a pledge allegiance, boom, we're not playing. We're not going to play.
Oh, wait, you can't kneel or whatever? Fuck
whatever. We're not going back.
We're not playing, period.
We're going back to the locker room. Oh, hell no. Because now the network's going to be like, what?
Yeah.
What you mean they ain't going to play?
They're going to have nothing for that
And
spot.
You don't know when it's going to happen. It's just going to keep happening. It might skip a week. It's going to keep happening.
Right.
All of a sudden, they can't take that because... It's going to affect this. It's going to
right.
affect that money.
And that's the only
but
thing
then
they're
in the con. But then there's contracts.
But they're
making,
they can't make you play. They yeah. can't make you play. If you're willing to lose, just like Le'Veon Bell this year was willing to lose $14 million. If you're willing to sit out and take a stand, a real stand, that's the way it changes.
You have to say no to the money.
You have to be a slave to the money.
Because that's essentially how they got you. It's a different type of slavery.
It's a different type of right. It's a different type of slavery. I said that's a different
and
type of slavery.
It's not like slavery because they have so much money already.
If you wanted to do something else, you probably could invest your money elsewhere.
Yeah, but the guys make a lot of money. The guys blow that money so fast. They don't know how to handle it.
Yeah,
I mean they really don't.
Well,
anything else?
We have a lot of questions.
We don't have that many questions.
Oh, okay.
Some of the questions I'm like,
okay. I know. I saw some like, how do you bag an athlete?
How do you bag an athlete?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all the woman was said.
She said, how does a normal woman bag an athlete? Like, just a regular girl.
I read that and I was like, don't.
Yeah, like, okay, just
well, but that's only because I'm his daughter. That's question. You know, it's so funny because my dad has always told me to stay away from athletes.
And then you just went the other way with an entertainer.
And then I just dated an entertainer, which is essentially the same thing.
Well, almost the same thing, but it's not an athlete, I'm telling you. We're the worst with the women thing. I mean, as far as I know, because think about it, most athletes, A lot of them are good looking. Some of them they're not, but they got the bodies and they're on television. They're athletic. Mm-hmm. People like that athletic look. The athletic look. Like, girl, look at his body. Because when a man see a woman, he might not see a face. He's like, whoa, boy, look at that body. I mean, look at the body.
I'm definitely more attracted to a football player's body than like a basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, because for sure. They're better.
We're talking about athletes in general.
Right.
Yeah. Like, they're too tall.
Yeah, but say football. See, football players, we're like most, you know, the average height of a man, 6'3", 6'4", you know, that cut, that bill. But if I tell a woman, man, be careful what you wish for, because you'll get that, baby, you will be stressed out, a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah, you have a normal life, yeah, and then you'll...
You don't want that.
He'll wisp you up to your to his unnormal life, and then he'll throw you away, and you'll be right back to normal, honey.
Normal
and
life.
You'll be real sad.
Mm-hmm. Because one thing about athletes is that, I'm gonna say, forget athletes, men. Let's just go there. We're gonna go with just men. Men in general. Most men, and I'm not saying every man, but I guarantee you, I would say about 80% of men are unfaithful. And athletes, sheesh. It's probably about 99.9% of them are unfaithful. And it's not even that you wanna be sometimes. Women are aggressive and they don't give up. Some of them are just relentless. To the point where you say, oh, damn, okay, let's just do it. Shit. Okay, let's just get it over with.
Me too movement.
I said it when this Me Too stuff happened because people say, ask me, are you afraid? I said, man, first of all, I don't say that stuff to women. That's just not me.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm like that classy guy, but I was taught better. I don't say that.
Right.
I say, but I've had women say stuff to me like, damn, baby, I'm supposed to say that. You ain't supposed to say that to me. it really made me feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm like, oh, girl, okay, how you know, girl? Like, oh, golly, what you talking about?
Aggressive.
I can believe it. Like, just groupies or just in general?
And they always groupies. You'd be surprised. I mean, you'd be surprised. I would tell people all the time, you'd be surprised at things women would do. It's shocking. I mean, and some say, oh, my girlfriend would never do that. I'm like,
you don't know your girlfriend.
Not with you, but with someone else.
Right. You don't know your girlfriend.
I have a question. Have you ever dated a black woman?
Of course.
Do you date black women?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm supposed to be in a relationship right now, but yeah, of course.
You're not supposed to be.
Sad.
Well, you know, they say a lot. They say infamously, like, black athletes rarely date their black women.
Oh, I've had several black girlfriends. Okay. I mean, I take that back. Not girlfriends. I've never had a bunch of girlfriends. Period.
Right.
I can count the girls I call girlfriends almost on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
I had when I was in college, my first girlfriend, the girl who ruined me, who made me the way I am.
It's
right
always
now.
That one girl for men. It takes one.
You told me this. Like, I never want to feel this way.
Yeah, you got it. Judy Tillman. This girl ruined me. This girl was beautiful.
I'll be like, you ruined him.
She died. She died.
Oh, damn.
And she passed away.
She passed away.
But she had me strung. Man, she had me strung out, and I won't forget. I was at my grandparents' house in Houston because she lived in Houston. I would just stay down there with them because I'd be close to her. It was in my senior year, and I'm going ready to go to college. And my grandfather one day, because you know, and I think about it, in the bed, the headboard is up here,
mm-hmm.
and so I had my feet up here, my head down here, because we only had two phones in the house. They had one in the kitchen and one in their bedroom. And my grandfather walked in one morning because he said, got my grandson backed in the bed. He said, boy. Because I was waiting for the phone to ring all night.
So you were sleeping upside down?
Yeah, I was sleeping upside down. He said, boy, you can't handle it. He called her Jumping Judy. He said, you can't handle that girl. That girl gonna broke your heart. She had. And I will never forget. I'm like, man, if I ever get over this feeling, I will never feel like this about a woman again.
Oh, my goodness.
I said that to myself. I said, and my mother told me, Eric, let me tell you something, boy. She said, you always let the girl like you better more than you like her, or vice versa. She said, because that way you're always in charge. And I've never felt that way again. I made sure I didn't. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Is that Virgo anyway?
Yeah. I mean, I love, true. But I'm not crazy in love. Like, I can live without you. I mean, I'm like, hey, go get you another man. I would tell him, hey, if you think I'm that bad, get you another one. And you gonna see, he gonna do the same thing. You know, but not all men are the same, but it's just hard dating athletes. You don't want that.
But yeah, people always told me, like, it's the bus driver, it could be the lawyer, it could be the doctor, it could be the nerd that you think doesn't get the
trash man.
Like, he's probably cheating too.
It don't matter. It don't make a difference. It's the man in us. It's just hard to say no. It really is. It just is. It's hard to say no. I mean, I hate to say it.
Well, on that note, I have one last final question.
Okay.
When we talked about bringing you on, we told you we had a segment called Horror Stories. Horror Stories is a segment where it's like scary.
Horror stories.
But it's like a horror
and
story.
And I feel like it's only appropriate, well, probably inappropriate because you're my dad, but only appropriate that we have an athlete on that has had a lot of, I'm assuming, hotels. And you had mentioned something about a Playboy mansion. I don't know, the Playboy party.
Like a crazy ass.
You tell me a crazy story, like a crazy.
It can pertain to you. It can pertain to.
This doesn't have to be scary, but just sexual, like something where it was very whorishness happening.
Or scary. Yeah. Like, oh my god, like
it turned. It went from something good to very bad.
From good to very bad. What happened to the Playboy mansion? That was fun. We didn't really do much. The mansion wasn't like that when I got into the league, but.
Or if you have a friend, you want to share a friend's horror story? Maybe less personal.
Maybe I better share one of those.
Huh?
Let's put it like. I can tell you a horror story. So I'm in Indianapolis. I'm in Indy, and they gave me a van to drive, like a van. It was a nice van too. And so I went to the club. What was the name of that club? Gosh, I can't think of the name of the club. It was a club we used to go to on Friday nights. So we go to the club, and sometimes, you know, I get the girls in the van, go back to, you know, we go take it to the house. So one of the rookies, I won't say his name, he said, man, we got some girls, want to go back to the house. I said, well, take them in the van and come back and get us. So, man, we got, it was like seven girls that took it to my house. And I had a basement. So, when I come on, I get to the house. I mean, I didn't see nobody else. When I go in the basement, I see, it's naked girls everywhere. I'm like, what the hell going on around here? The guys coming, taking their clothes off, like getting naked, you know. And I walk into one room, is in the basement, the air conditioning units were. I see a girl on her knees. I'm embarrassed to say this, Erica, but it wasn't me. But I see a girl on her knees, and I just see her head going up. I said, what is she doing? But the guy's thing was so long. It was like, I'm like, what? I couldn't even see him. I just see her.
He's behind the air conditioner.
I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, my God.
I still know his name, too. I'm like, damn, boy.
Have so many people
write in,
like, can your father
let us
know who?
Did you ever find out who
just
killed
he married?
Oh my gosh, man.
Oh my god, that is
terrible. So that was a hard. It's scary. I'm like, damn, what the hell?
What you doing back there?
Yeah, that's my horror story.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay. Well, Dad, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me.
I enjoyed this, so
I hope I didn't tell too much.
No, it's just a bunch of moms listening anyway.
Okay, well, all you moms, don't date no athletes. Let's put it like that.
Moral of today's episode, don't date no athletes.
If you do, get your old one.
They still might not marry you,
but at least you...
But they've calmed down fully.
They want to go to sleep early now.
Well, I hope the Rams win. I think it's crazy. I was telling my dad, like, when the Rams came back to L.A., and, like, I was like, there's no way these... I went to a few games.
It wasn't
looking too good. I was like, it's going to be a while for them to build this franchise up. And they've done it really quickly in 3 years.
Super Bowl now.
They've done it real quickly. I mean, people don't realize how hard it is to play in Super Bowls. I mean, it's very difficult. I played 11 years, and I never made it to a Super Bowl. I played in the NFC Championship game. And that was like the game that we just played in against New Orleans, one game before the Super Bowl. Mm. So it's hard to get there, and I got to give credit to the New England Patriots. This is their ninth one, so that's.
I mean, they're. I feel like they win every year.
It's crazy. They cheat too, but they do their bunch of. But the Rams going to the Super Bowl is big for the city of LA. I mean, it really is big. I mean, because they haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1979.
Oh
It's gonna be crazy out here.
It is.
We need to go do something.
We should probably watch that game.
Yeah, you need to watch. You need to watch that game.
Yeah, I don't. I won't really.
I need to get my Ram shit. My Ram gear.
Yeah, Dad, I need some new updated Rams gear.
Not updated.
Do you have like Dickerson ones?
I got. You got no jersey.
I have an old. I have this shirt. I'll show.
Oh, I gotta get you a jersey. I'm gonna bring you. I'm gonna get you a jersey.
I have a shirt that's probably as old as me. Really? But I think it's Colts actually.
Well, I'm gonna get you a Rams. I'm gonna get you a Rams jersey.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah, me too. I might. If I can, I'm gonna try to drop it off here before I get out of here tomorrow.
All right, well, no pressure.
Yeah,
no
pressure. But I want you to have it for the game.
Yeah,
for the game.
Yeah, we gotta have it.
I have somebody deliver it to you, but you'll get one.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
You're very welcome for having me.
I love you.
I love you too.
And we will see you guys next week. We have a really special guest coming on next week.
Oh, yeah, we do. We have a lot of really cool guests coming up. We have been on our shit. Okay. Emailing people. Stop.
Should we say who she is? Or
no,
like...
it gotta be a special
guest. Okay,
special guest.
So yeah, we'll see you next week, and we'll catch up on Erica's long ass trip then.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right.
And go Rams.
Go Rams.
There you go.
Little Benji, bruising my knee, dip on a dip, making a trip. Wanna talk slick? I blow him a kiss. Glue in my weed. Miss Destiny, little Benji, bruise on my knee. Bundles, 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 hit that plug up for the bundles. Beauty shop supply, catch it raining up the nose. Rock my many scales, then go natural for the summer. Hair blowing in the hummer, just the wee I in my stomach. Bundles, 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 hit that plug up for the bundles. Beauty shop supply, catch it raining up the nose. Rock my money style, then go natural for the summer. Hair blowing in the hummer, flip the weed, I am the stunner. Please do not ask me or any black or brown woman if our hair is real or not. If it's a wig, a weave, extensions, braid, don't fucking matter. It's very rude, it's extremely personal to be put on the spot like that. How we choose to wear our hair.